Então, o ditado tem que ir para o campo.
That's in essence the one in the second. how to file members clearly committed to the additional members. That's we had a very lengthy discussion about it. They would agree around how many members come from the opposition and from the ruling party, because the composition of parliament changes from time to time. So it's not ideal to specifically prescribe a particular formula in terms of proportionality. The numbers that should come from, either from the opposition or from the opposition. That is the advice that from the obviously, the party would be in a career beforehand. So and I have a small list of concerns. So, one is anything that is not long. To foster the material approach in the way structure constitutes. Thank you very
much. Do you want to add something before I open the discussion?
Okay.
Your microphone.
I think what Mr. Mokhtar pointed this morning is what we pointed last night. And with the steering committee, what is happening is that the steering committee consists of the secretary, which is coming from the majority party, and the deputy secretary, which is coming from the opposition. And then there are three members that are coming from the majority party, and two members that are coming from the opposition. And we had a meeting today, this morning, to finalize it.
Chairperson, thank you. We agreed to the process the chairperson from the majority party, the deputy chairperson from the opposition. And I believe that we did agree that the deputy chairperson of the opposition should be elected by the opposition council, but I'll come back to that. With regard to the steering committee, we did not agree, we agreed with what the chairperson just said, and not the way it should be presented by the system. We do not believe that it should be 5 members from the caucus. We believe that it should specifically be stated 3 members from the majority party, 2 members from the opposition. And I just want to say that with regard to the meeting as well this morning, in fact, I put the matter up to Madam Chair a little while ago. I am going to see a program in from my house this morning. I saw the chairperson who had interviewed earlier saying that we would see another part for him to talk immediately after that. My problem knows nothing about that meeting that is here held. So the point I make is that we're not even being advised of these meetings. It's absolutely essential that there be representations of opposition on the steering committee.
Thank you. Yes, well, Mr. Stephen has been taking our call because I'm not running again, but it's just a statement of the time. But Mr. Sitter, not quite a direct chair, it was not going to say that the joint subcommittee was not clear. But after the point of some impact, the chairperson at the moment of the rural caucus keeps on stating exactly what he seems to say now. And I ask the committee if he wants to give that to them today, that we can deliberate and we can give some things. We actually only agree that we will take it here, take it further today, or we will just what it is. actually coming from them, saying before this committee and the rest of the subcommittee, was that the chairperson will be elected by the ANC, the deputy chairperson will come from the Zulu Party, elected by the Zulu Party, and the same as the steering committee, up to the 5 members from the steering committee. The idea was that this statement from the Zulu House is such that the following stuff, the fee will come from the ANC, elected by the ANC, part of that caucus, which is not here, nodding. The other fee will come from the opposition party, elected by the opposition members of the caucus. I think what all the women sitting here agree with that, but it's their situation, that is what they want. It was very difficult for you to argue, very difficult for one thing to say, to understand why the majority of the subcommittee did not want to be cognizant to that fact of their wishes.
Probably the position that the meeting that we had for the chapter. But another thing is that if we go in that group, this is a forum where we may come together. And probably they want to do things on their own. But my dilemma is that if we go on a tradition that this must be this and we lay down roots, what happens is that we have very eloquent person capable of doing the job, because that person probably comes from the minority party, that person cannot be expected to lead. How do we now sort of come around them? But one of the things I have to cover is that the opposition has to actually sit together in any length, whatever person they want to choose. And I will go along with that. But let us also take that into account. Because there will be one party, one person from one party, and that person is very eloquent and very capable of driving the issue of the women or the men, because we'll probably be seeing what you mean along those lines or those ways. Thank you.
Then divorce, the question of the proportionally sense of the whole rules of parallel and or how they get processed and then make a different ruling for the women if we actually take offense. Different offense that I know you didn't take the offense. Then women must govern and women issues in different rules and in relation to other rules. So I know you were not wanting to be offended, but that rule will apply. And if you want to set a policy, we can engage on that and we can then go back and we will then submit that actually the government is being party that taught all of it. The issue of gender equality, women representing, and it will remain numerically, in, like in all other rules, it will remain the biggest in terms of number, consistent in so many. If you want policies, you can policies.
Okay, oh, no policies. Point of order, please. Point of order. We don't actually like point of order. It's part of our point of order. Microphone.
Okay.
Gentlemen, probably it might have been a slip of the tongue. She says that I did not mean to be offensive. Can I withdraw that? And you can't be honest with that. We will come to that.
No
question. The issue of the steering committee. What happens when the women's caucus, the ANC women's caucus, elects the secretary and the three members of the steering committee, and the opposition elects the deputy chair and the three members of the two members of the steering committee. And then later on, we meet as the women's caucus, and we agree on the names that are put forward by those parties. So normally it works exactly the way they would like it to work. And finally, I would like to say we met this morning, and as the women's caucus, we agreed that we are going to work very smooth because as the representative here in Parliament, we have a constituency that is common, that has got common problems and common issues, which are women of South Africa. And we are here to serve the women of South Africa. We are going to forget when we did with this matter about our political affiliation. Thank you.
We all understand the question of selection and proportionality. Those issues could be dealt with. Is everybody happy about that, Joseph?
Chairperson, it's great news to not read that way. That is the understanding at the moment. Next year, in a different group of people, it doesn't need to be understood that way. It needs to be worded in the way that we've just expressed.
Yeah, I think it can be worded the way. Thank you, Chairperson. I don't think really a political issue arises. There's consensus across the party around how these numbers are constituted. What we wouldn't be able to write in the rules is to say that X number elected by X party or party. Because the internal processes within parties are internal party processes, which do not reflect. Can I just explain this unprotected? So the proposition from the chair of the anti-corporate is something that can work. That's say, according to the principle of finding the process, ready the process. SSA is that to make sure that whatever they are split in terms of point in time, he finds expression in the way the composition of the theory and in this instance, obviously, by consensus already, that specific growth of the human has been agreed across time. The point I was trying to explain, and I say that you cannot write into the rule, you cannot pass the code, is because if you say elected, for example, by the opposition, in concrete terms, what I say, elected in terms of what other rules of the rule have you regulated that election code that happens outside of the code? That's why the reference here is elected by the rule, in the sense that the parties would have agreed on how they would do this outside of the caucus, they get into the caucus based upon the agreement, which then formalize the agreement, and that's how all other institutions are created. Even the election of the chairperson of the portfolio committee, that person is nominated by the majority, but is actually elected by the multi-party structure. It's not elected by the party.
Because
I'm saying this chairperson because it's late in the term, and we have to catch up with some serious work in this regard. So I would like to see the Women's Caucus being held back or frustrated in carrying out its mandate for the next 3 to 6 months while we quibble about unnecessary administrative issues.
Everybody will argue the capacitation of the women's caucus. I think we need to just say how to do their work very difficult. I'm sure the president is going to be able to say the end of the public process and so on. That is the project. Yeah, we can find the
message.
Chairman, before I come to the next point, may I just inquire, at the previous moment, the existing steering committee, how many of the chairperson are deputy chairperson? What is the composition of the other five of the members? How many ANC, how many opposition?
We have 3 members of the Ruling Party and 2 members of the opposition. The one who is GA and the other one who is GA.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to ask that the point comes back to you. I don't want to put this on hold. I don't want to stop the work of women's multi-party to enforce it. But there is no way we can agree to the wording unless it is changed to proportionality. I've got no problem with leaving the election by caucus, but it's got to have the proportionality in there. It must be the 3 members and the 2 members, 3 members from the majority party, 2 members from the opposition. I will accept the caucus decision on the understanding that it is going to be an election not by the general caucus, but the people, but there needs to be the numbers need to be spelled out.
Let's talk about the principle.
certainly initially take ice cubs up or shall you initially as a way of getting a drop, and still with the caveat and say that it should happen in the sacred part of that court. In other words, the ANC woman would elect and the opposition party would elect. This paper came to point said, doesn't actually matter what happened after election, say prosecution actually be a good thing because that's the way the woman was delivered. But that's the part of the point. My point is that what's been said then does not solve the problem that it is. So that is what they want, and it needs to be stated exactly like that. Draft within the section is accepted for the way the rules are super. That it should state that these people get elected by these portions of the court.
I think we just been getting around one thing. There's an agreement how internally the women caucus will work. There's nobody who says they disagree on that. All what is consistent the way I had is just in the rules, you can practice it. Not like what you're saying, but I don't want to explain what you say. You want to explain what you say.
First of all, I think that I am a fit to have any case of satisfaction with the solution of the office, which is in line with the proposal from the chair of the ANC caucus, that the principle of professionality should underpin the competition, that principle should be in the now. Well, let me not address the issue on which I take exception. For me to happen to be a man to chair a subcommittee on the review of rules, I don't find it to be out of place. And for somebody to make the kind of decision that this is the subcommittee that led us through, and that the place is the woman has a issue. But let me not delay the issue. I think that there's no issue. First of all, he knows himself, also as a lawyer, that he's completely wrong. Because you see, in the rules, okay, we can't say that the composite, the people who are elected on the steering committee are elected by another body. This is the body which is the women's caucus. It is the one that elects. Parties would obviously have nominated those members duly elected by the body. If you say this woman elected by the party, then you must explain elected by the party in terms of what procedures. Now you bring procedures of electing a person that are happening outside of that process, all right, within the party structure, all right, you're bringing them into the rules of parliament, which are magical. That's happening. It's simply impossible. So then you must prepare for the party and election proceedings in this way of the institution, all right. That says for this person to be elected by the party, this is the procedure internally within the party, or between the small parties outside of the party, that they are going to follow elected. Is that really what you are asking? Surely I don't think that's the
problem. Can I rule on this? I'm sorry, Mr. Nasuka is quite correct. Just to try to make headway on it. There's an agreement within the women caucus, how they nominate their people to serve on different structures. And caucus will then endorse them. There's an agreement. And it's in the minutes of the majority committee. The issue of the proportionality is what we agree all that can be
individuals and this thing, they do have a constituency of women, and we are also so interested to be educated on the problems that women encounter, in order that we should also go back to our own constituencies and inform them about the development. So I was then moving that to cover such parties, should there be some observer status that would be given.
Okay, all right. Let's close up the issue, Mr. Sir,
thank you very much. Thank you also for the opportunity. Well, I would actually suggest that you have some sense in getting to after the next election, you have women in your board. And that is quite the point. Chairman, you just find that I did not in any way want to cast any aspersions on the chairman's discussion. Let me back to our case. We can just argue here as we just say, well, how? Boy, I find it fascinating that we want to argue these things while we care what they want. So I was all, if there was any need of attention, and there were no aspersions cast. I was just trying to get your point, just make a point that we are seeing your arguments about how technically we must do these, but we're not able to point to indicate what the woman wants the way to do. But that's the fault.
We will agree with the proposal as amended. No problem with that. Just one further point that we believe in that the election should take place immediately after we come re-adjourn in the new year, so that the disability can be formalized according to the process.
I have no answer to your question.
The task committee to actually draft the rules for the establishment of the structure.
Somalia by providing policy and strategic direction on parliament's international engagement, including its relations with other parliaments and international parliamentary organizations. Providing support. Because she now, it is now the CGIR that we're talking about here, that we are saying are providing policy and strategic direction. Because that, in my view, remains the domain of the Joint Rules Committee. The CGIR is a subcommittee of the Joint Rules Committee. So the leadership must come from here. And then, of course, this body reports to the National Assembly and the National Council of Committee. So I'm just worried that in the population, the powers of the Joint Rules Committee must not be ceded to a subcommittee.
Yeah,
Shepherds are still very clearly under the sanctions and powers of the Parliamentary Group on International Relations that implement the international relations policy agreed by the joint rules. To do that, you are ensuring that the policy and strategic direction are enforced.
Translation of that policy is a rule that it is technically correct. So whatever policy decision is taken by the rule committee, our is to make sure that as long as it's formulated technically correct, it will be effective to do that. The basis on which we formulated the rule was the policy adopted by the committee. This specifically stated this policy. So we simply gave effect to that. The point I'm trying to get at is that we have no difficulty in reformulating the action as before, but it will be necessary for the policy that was adopted by the Rules Committee to be revisited so that the rule, so that the policy then becomes in line with the rules are implemented. Otherwise, we will have the policy very unsafe. But we have no difficulty with doing that. But subject to technical correctness, otherwise there's no difficulty with doing that to whatever quality is done. Another point I wanted to clarify too is that after the establishment of the 2004 Parliament, all the subcommittees that existed under the Rules Committee were abolished, and there was only one subcommittee that remained, and that is the Review of Committee. So the functions were then subsumed in a whole range of other structures. So this structure, technically speaking, not established as a subcommittee of the Rules Committee. There was such a subcommittee in the previous parliament, which this structure is then taking over the function of, and hence it's not called a subcommittee, called that. But this is not detracting in any way from a view of what its function and role and its location in the scheme of things Parliament should be. But like I said, I still need to emphasize the point that there was a policy adopted by the Rules Committee which created the character of the structure. So it is true.
Chairperson,
yes,
Chairperson,
yes,
Chairperson,
yes,
like you advocate for society, they used to be a subcommittee for the character of nations that reported to the Joint Committee. thing that was always clear in my mind was that the area of international relations is absolutely strategic. It's an area that can't be hyped up to some committee somewhere in a corner. It's absolutely strategic and very important for us to always be, you know, mindful of what we're doing, how we're handling it, and so on and so forth. I mean, just now, when we were in Geneva at the ICD, we picked up that there's somewhere we had to wear a care, deciding how we're going and how we're doing. And it's just too important for us to lose sight of and join. I was very uneasy as you were hiding off to this company, the CIR, partly because I was resisting that we, the presiding officer, should have to wear chairs. And yet we know that part of the strategic thing that we must not decide off, finally. So I want to suggest that, correctly, I think my speaker has a reference to the importance of going back to the policy to address it. I want to suggest that we go back, take that policy, look at it, and rethink what it is that we've done. So that when any in the year we come back, we are ready to come back to this room, having looked at that policy we adopted, and talk to ourselves about whether it was correct, whatever it is, because I'm a bit worried about what I did here. And I can understand from the point of view of the subcommittee, of the group, they couldn't do anything but translate what we are doing and policy into rules that we then report to us and tell us how we can do. But this, that I see here, I'm worried about.
Now, the third rule is the language requirement of the further explain the rationale behind such a policy. That is that there might be a number of cases where members have direct supervision. Under circumstances like that, it's possible that harmful things can be inserted into those diets. And Mr. Botella raised the example of what happens with the current religion or the presidency during the 80s. You check the luggage in on the way to come in here. That luggage was interfered with stoves for poison and dire consequences to him. So that is not, I mean, he was very clear that this is no, should not be seen as a confront to the speaker, certainly the security proportion that has a sound foundation. He further stressed that it wouldn't be always necessary to search bags, but it is more a case where the member knows that a bag hasn't been under their constant supervision, that they would appreciate that information. The member voluntarily come forward with that information. I think that the forum raised concern. I think there was general understanding in the forum for the need for such a policy. I think we're all committed to ensuring the safety and security of the parliamentary precinct. What was of concern to members was the erratic implementation of the policy. For a long time, it seemed not to have been implemented. All of a sudden, without communication, it then gets implemented and needs this kind of attention. The token should be raised here, but as I said in introducing the item, it was really felt that the most appropriate place to massively discuss this is the thank you.
Number one, for example, the issue of the poison. You would not have found that poison by putting it through a search unit. It's not the sort of thing that would show up on an X-ray machine. So you still undermine the security. The problem that the members are arguing about is the fact that ministers and deputy ministers are also those card holders. You were referred to a specific piece of legislation documents today, and they were on security matters, saying that, you know, the point out. Got all told the gold card holders should be searched. The problem is that ministers and deputy ministers are also gold card holders in terms of the very document. The ministers and deputy ministers can walk through with whatever they wish, but ordinary members of parliament must be searched. Now we run around from meeting to meeting. You've got to take the time and stand to a few behind long queues of visitors to parliament with school bags and things. We must wait to have our bags filled. And yet ministers and deputy ministers can walk around as they see. And he's saying that either we should start changing the thing and visitors must be put to a different system altogether, so members have direct access, and then all members must be treated equally. A minister is no less likely a problem than an ordinary member of parliament.
Yes. I think the problem that they're dealing with here is that inconsistency. between these men and women make rules on their feet and also depends on what food they are that day. Sometimes they're standing up away from the entry point, smoking. She's a bit more in and out. And then one morning there's a bad mood and decides to search you, or decides to put your bag through. So I also hear that they threaten to arrest me because of what happened last week. But it was exactly, and I challenged her to come and arrest me. Exactly because the very same lady was there the day before. She simply said on the phone, I just walked by. The next morning she's awake, put your bag through. And I refused. Because I said, give me the policy that says that this is how what method the parliament should do. And the real says that if it does cause tension, the person don't want to be rude to them either. But they should at least show us some respect. I'm only certain for these men and women, it's not all of them. Some of them are very kind and nice. When you get to the car, they enter with your car there, they ask you to open it. We allow that, and they're very nice and they do it as quickly as possible. But it's at the entrances to the building where the police men and women can get into the victim.
Agreeing on the issue of dignity, of the dignity of the people. then I will get to handle one another. Say that it is also our collective responsibility to make sure that the security of this national key point is not compromised. And there have been times when we have been very concerned. And I remember attending a discussion with one of the ministers that there is too much left to be on the part of all of us. You know, just on the question of, you know, expecting to go through straight without any problems where we are recognized and so on. I think when we have it, we should look at that issue. Because other parliaments have had crises that we don't want to have the experience for. Start looking at the issue of the security of this national people. The national people is the piece of legislation that deals with the issue of how we should approach the security of this people. So I think we need to sort out all these things, including with the, our service providers, because the SATS are the service providers, the parliament. There are some problems we are still having in relation to the old law that governs that relationship. Of the national report to be amended. And we must make sure that when it is being amended, it must then be in keeping with the power and privilege of Parliament. Because there's now a different way of approaching Parliament from the old order way, where in fact the police had the last word. It's now a different era, and the police must not have the last word. This place is under the leadership of the civilian leadership. And that is provided for in the law that we have. But there is still that problem in the true law, where one is provided for one and another one is saying something different. So that relationship is not a easy one as well. The relationship between the people employed by this institution and the South African politicians who still are working under that mindset of the old National Police Act. So I'm just saying that this is a complex thing, because on one level it's subjective in terms of our emotions and our dealing with the question of our genius, which is something we're forced to this time, and so we can't compromise on. But let's quickly remember our own responsibility, because we have a collective. And there are weaknesses in this matter, in the parliamentary environment.
Just to point out that clause 8.5.4, which is the first, it actually allows, in fact, requires that the version be X-rayed or manually served. So you actually can, through this policy, have to be manually served, the version be manually served. So I just want to add to the thing in the presiding officer, whoever is going to look at this issue, please also to note that, you know, one of the major concerns, one of the things that they're bringing up, is that senior officials and ministerial aides go through, walk through the suitcases, newspapers, and they must sit, but the members in before and behind them are. And, you know, so it's not just the members, it's the whole issue. I mean, if there's a search policy, everybody must be good. Thank you.
Can I also make one thing, which was also worried to me, the behavior of some of our members compromising security in Parliament.
in order to get it to formalize what having cut essentially say that especially those that are interested in talent that we had due for the day, the official translation of the book must be for the house contracting that the book is due at least 3 days before the actual day. And that the amendments that are then adopted by the house must actually be factored into the translation before the translation and the act itself and the public are forwarded to the president for action. So that's just the practice that is there, and this is just to formalize something that was determined by the previous speaker in 2009 and was left outstanding. There was an attempt at some point to draft a bill to give effect to the Honorable General Lamont, the chairman of the group. Our opinion is that it is not necessary to regulate legislation, but an internal arrangement issue that under the Constitution gives us the power to regulate our own approach.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you,
we agree with the rule. Okay, fine. The rule is okay. I'm going to this meeting of Chester to go and dinner at 1 and sing a lunch prepared for you, for everyone. So please go and dinner at 1. Okay, thank you very much. Now there's another rule in terms of joint standing committee on legislation.
Sorry, Chairperson, that's another small matter.
We and my official I've got Marina here. I hope I won't say nasty things about her and make enemies. But essentially, they put the wrong text when we adopted the text in June. And we only discovered that after we passed the rule. So all we do is to circulate the correct version of the rule. And the one that has been finalized by the Council of the purported to be reported on.
So it's not a question necessarily I do this. Just a correct version of the rule.
Yes, we're requesting the rule committee to substitute the previous rule that was approved.
That's the question I was going to present. This legislation is correct. That's the legislation.
Is it correct?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
I'm asking you that it's correct.
Oh,
and see,
that's the question.
Yes, we have looked at it and it reflects the rules are issued by the day and the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence, the FBI, together with the subcommittee, and actually purported to be presented as agreed to by the last rules committee. But that was just the last before the final text that we dealt with in the subcommittee.
Okay.
The legislation issue, Honorable Mayor, before I go to the minister, I just want to see the board issue.
The rules, I mean, when we reconceptualize the role of the rules committee, we just focus on what the term all competence of quality. So we've been dealing extensively with oversight and accountability. One of the other, if not the key competency of the Parliament, is the passage of legislation. I think a number of problems have been reported in various fora over quite a considerable period of time. But what what has brought matters to a head all of the problems that surround the passage of the children's book. And without wanting to go into detail, it is clear that the two issues arise. One is the procedure followed by the method for the adoption of the education. It's quite clear that not all committees adopt legislation with a final version of what they adopt. They deliberate up to a point, reach consensus, and then allow people to go and draw without coming back to look at those things and voting on the final version. I think that's the problem. But the other thing that has emerged is that there appear to be quite serious problems within the administrative support that is given to the we are now 3 weeks after the children's story was finalized. The indication that problem. I think that's something else that needs to be looked at. The passage in the committee section, the part of the legal section, thirdly, there's the issue of the relationship between Parliament, committee, and the parliamentary administration and the state board. I don't think there's been an extensive discussion in programming and chief of forum. I don't think this is now an opportunity for us to engage in recrimination or even to try and get to the deep of it. But I think it's clear that there are problems in the way we approach the situation.
And then the first joint group committee will get the report. But result, Parliament has relied on the state law advisor. And they also have their own talent. It's not as if they've got skills in abundance. And so, somewhere along the line, the process comes under pressure because not the same person deals with the deal throughout. You know, a few legal law advisors from that side deal with the deal. So at the end, for instance, in this specific case, we find that the person who dealt with that deal at the end was not the same person who had dealt with the deal throughout the process. And therefore had then touched base with others. And as a result, some changes came that had never been before the committee or were not adopted by the committee when the deal came out through the NDA committee stage. Hence, it came back with totally new things and some mistakes. So I'm saying, you know, we've identified some of those things, but we're going to subject them to rigorous discussion and come back with the proposal as to how we move forward and how we improve on our experience here. Now, right now, we need to urgently go and have an urgent consultation with the Minister so we are taking the talk offline about the service.
In that light, can we then stop the discussion once more?
Say that Chancellor and I agree with everything, but I would urge that the strength of the students in the case of the young, because most of the errors happen at that point of principle. I'm telling you that the system is manual and that is trust. So that's part of it.
I want to show this Mr. Kiriri for the 1.50 the period of the town.
Many attempts to guide us as to what is the current rule to let the Sophie understand. I do know it includes, you know, all summonses or to serve on members of parliament going through a certain procedure. So I am pleading for an exemption in that rule for maintenance summons. So that is really my request.
Go back on that and see whether how can we deal with it, bring it back to the general committee.
Okay.
Can we note the minutes? We will not ask them today. We'll look at them the next minute. And next minute we'll be joined with the committee.
Chief, there is one item in the minutes that our question last raised, and I believe we can talk something about it in the next day or two. On page 3 of the minutes, regarding the scrutiny mechanism for delegated legislation, at the last meeting, it was agreed that the draft resolution proposed by the subcommittee for the establishment of an interim scrutiny committee be adopted, and the resolution be put before the two houses. So why can't that resolution be put before the houses? We can still go before the National Assembly today, and the NCLC committee before they start.
I've seen the draft, I'm not too sure whether it's coming before the House, but the draft is there. The Secretary is like, yes, yes, they can look up by it, but I've seen that it was supposed to be tabled before all Houses. I'm not just too sure whether it's coming before the NCLC for the long reason. Can we have by the Secretary of that area?
No, we have submitted the draft to the most for placing on the board table now.
Thank you. Let's try the process. Thank you very much. Remember, there is one sugar served for you.